Good morning. Welcome to the Blacklands Cafe. I'm John Mark Dempsey. Have a cup of coffee on the house. It's Wednesday, February 26th. Sharing a table with us in the cafe this morning, A&M Commerce Professor of Economics, Dr. Dale Funderburk. Birthdays, Buffalo Bill Cody, born on this day in 1846. The novelist Victor Hugo, born this day in 1802. Antoine Fats Domino is 86 today.
I'm walking, here's the knee, and I'm talking. Find you and me, I'm hoping that you come back to me. I'm lonely as I can be. I'm waiting for your company. I'm hoping that you come back to me.
The great Johnny Cash, born on February 26th, 1932.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
On this day in history in 1919, the Grand Canyon is established as a national park. From the Smithsonian Channel.
A giant chasm, bigger than anything on the North American continent. A place so daunting in scale, no American had yet managed to journey into its depths. A place now known as the Grand Canyon.
At the top of the charts in 1970, the top of the mountain for Simon and Garfunkel, Bridge Over Troubled Water. On the KETR events calendar, you're invited to the 18th annual Greenville FFA Future Farmers of America auction and dinner. The dinner is free, but donations are accepted. All proceeds go to fund scholarships and to support the leadership training for these agricultural leaders of tomorrow. If you wish to donate an item, please contact Christy Thompson at 903-453-3717. 903-453-3717. And for more information, see events at KETR.org. The annual Greenville FFA auction and dinner Saturday night in the Greenville High School cafeteria. Our guest in the cafe this morning is Dale Funderburk, professor of economics at A&M Commerce. Good morning.
Good morning.
Dale, since the last time you were here, we have started doing a thought for the day. And so here goes with today. Idealism increases in direct proportion to one's distance from the problem.
I like that.
Yeah, and this is from the British novelist and playwright John Galsworthy. Dale, a lot of discussion lately about raising the minimum wage. In general, your point of view on all of that.
My thing with the minimum wage, and I've been around a long time and I've seen this discussion, and it's always the same. There are those who are made better off. There's no doubt about it. If I'm getting minimum wage today, which is 7 1/4, and whether it's one step or three steps, I can get to 10-10, I'm all for it. It's great. It makes me better off. If I can keep my job. Now, am I likely to lose it tomorrow? Well, some do immediately, but generally, those who are made better off, they see it, it's very visible, they're very much for it. The negative effects of that, and it comes down to the thing we teach in Principles of Economics all the time, demand curves are downward sloped, that we'll buy less gasoline at a higher price than at a low. Everything is such as that, and the demand for labor is the same. So you say if you're going to hire this person, you've got to pay them more. That maybe not today, but over a period of time, there are adjustments in the market, and definitely there are fewer people hired.
So if someone doesn't lose their job, it may be when that person finally does leave that job that he's not replaced, and that job is lost at that point.
It is. That markets really do always adjust there. Again, not immediately there, but there is an adjustment to higher prices. If I may, a story that I very often tell is that if you look, because people say, well, we've had this so many times in the past. We've raised the minimum wage, and markets still work. People still get jobs. But if you want to look at a short line, you go into a Walmart or you go at Christmas or an airport or someplace where it's really, really busy, you can always find a short line. It's the self-service line. Now, what that tells me is that they don't have that line there because everyone's clamoring, oh, let me wait on myself, or when I make a call, let me talk to a machine rather than a person. This is an adjustment to wages.
What if there had never been a minimum wage? What if going way back to whenever that was instituted, we just hadn't done it, would we be better off today, or would we all be making $2 an hour?
No, we definitely would not all be making $2 an hour. Most people work and make much, much, much more than a minimum wage. And in fact, even most people who start at a minimum wage, they don't stay there. If they have a continuing attachment to the labor force, income goes up over time. So what would happen if we had never had a minimum wage? We would not have everybody working for a quarter an hour or a dime an hour. That markets would have worked then as now. The on-the-job training, which has always been a very valuable way that people have been able to increase their productivity and move ahead, a higher minimum wage makes such a it freezes that out, in fact.
We're talking with Dr. Dale Funderburk, professor of economics at A&M Commerce, about the minimum wage and the controversy over that. The discussion right now is taking place about raising the minimum wage. Dale, I've heard it mentioned the idea of a higher minimum wage for adults and a lower minimum wage for teenagers, young kids just getting started.
Yeah, the problem with that is that, one, if you take an adult who has not had a continuing attachment to the labor force, let's say they've been out for quite some time, then when you start to try to enter the labor force, there's kind of a stigma there to begin with. And so if you say, all right, so you've got to pay this person a higher rate, I think I'll just see if I can find a younger worker where I'm not stuck with that. So it's one of those, I think the minimum wage overall, it's one of those where those who push it, their hearts are in the right place, you know, their intentions are good. But the consequences, and especially as you spread out the time length, are not that good.
It's hard to see what the effect of a minimum wage increase 10 years ago then has been on the job market.
Right. And I would say that raises in the minimum wage in the past are a reason why you do see so many self-service type things. That without those, there would be people who would be willing to take jobs that we may call menial or something. But it is a way of earning some money, and over time, again, people don't stay at the minimum wage if they stick with the labor market. They move up.
Can you remember the last time you pulled into a service station, somebody came out and washed your windshield and checked the air in your tires?
Well,
long time ago, wasn't it?
I'm getting old enough, I can't remember things 20 years ago, much less 50 years ago.
that was a long time ago, but I do remember that.
I do, yes.
Dale Funderburk, professor of economics at A&M Commerce, thanks for having a cup of coffee with us this morning.
It's been my pleasure.
And you're starting the day with Morning Edition on your station, 88.9 KETR.